This morning we continue our reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, which we began last week, the story of Jesus reading from Scripture. He began by saying to them, "Today this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed. Only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, your word is a dangerous word. It calls us sometimes to difficult places. It never allows us to rest complacent, but always challenges us to new endeavors. Help us, O God, to listen carefully to your word, and to find that delicate balance not just for us, but for your church, the balance between meeting our own needs and reaching out to others. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I was just thinking as I was reading that story of how angry the people were with Jesus and they were going to throw him off a cliff. I'm just really happy there's no big cliffs around Oakville after the baptism font thing this morning. On my most frustrating days, I always say that next time around I'm going to flip burgers at McDonald's. I always think of how satisfying that must be, right? You put the burger on the grill, you cook it, you take it off, you put the toppings on, and you serve it up. And you know you've done your job. Well, I actually tried it one summer, not at McDonald's, but at the campground by our cottage when I was 15. And this is how I did it. One person would give me their order. I would wait for it to cook. I would serve it up, and then I would take the next person's order. After an hour, there was a line up right out the door of the canteen. And the next day, I got switched to the garbage run for the next of the summer. Sometimes you just can't win. The one thing about ministry, though, that sometimes does drive me crazy. Yes, there's really only one thing, and it's the people. Actually, not really. You don't drive me crazy most days. The thing that is really difficult about ministry is that no matter how much you do, you can never say at the end of a day or a week or even at the end of your entire ministry, "It's done. I finished my job." Because for every week that you get the reading done that you feel you need to do, there are visits you don't make. For every week you do lots of visiting, there are unanswered emails. For every time you feel you've done a really good job of connecting with a community out there, your own people wish you'd spend more time looking after their needs. It can be crazy making. I remember especially one time I had been part of a community panel to give feedback on the new Youth Criminal Justice Act, and I was actually quite proud of my work. So I accepted an invitation to speak at a neighboring United Church. I sort of expected a pat on the back from the Ministry and Personnel Committee. Instead, they told me they wished I had done the workshop for my own church first. You know, sometimes you just can't win. All of the gospel writers include this story about Jesus not being acknowledged in his hometown for the good works that he does other places. But Luke especially makes a point of citing other biblical examples of God's prophets who have exercised their call in other places to other people rather than just to their own. Because Luke, you see, believes very strongly that Jesus came not just for his own people, the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. And therein lies the tension he highlights in this passage. It's the same issue we see surface various other ways in the New Testament, both in the Gospels and Epistles. Are the new believers to still adhere to Jewish law? How does the new belief in justification through faith balance that of justification through works? And where do the Gentiles fit? Anyway, never having been loyal to Jewish law in the first place. And I'm quite sure whether this encounter happened near the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where Luke places it, or closer to the end, where it is found in the other Gospels, the level of frustration must have been the same. Sometimes you just can't win. It's a tension that is definitely still alive in our church today. In fact, now more than ever, perhaps. Why are we here? Why are we the Church of Jesus Christ in this time and place? Why do we, St. John's United, why do we continue to exist here in Oakville? Are we here for the good of our own people? Are we here for the good of the faithful who keep the institution running? Or are we here for those beyond our doors, those outside of our own circle? Do we sing the good old hymns of the faith to keep those who have been worshiping here forever happy? Or do we sing ones that appeal to newcomers? Do we insist that Sunday morning at 10:30 is still sacred time? Or can we acknowledge that Sabbath time these days seems to be grabbed in bits and pieces when and where it can be found? Is our primary ministry here within our doors, or is it out there in the world? It's a tension we always feel as ministers, and it's a tension each one of us actually should feel as followers of Jesus Christ, because it's a tension that has been with us from the start. The tension between looking after those already inside the circle of belief and those out there, so to speak, for whom, after all, the Church of Jesus Christ exists. I think too often we tend to leave our ministry beyond our doors to those with a special interest in outreach. But really, each one of us as followers of Jesus Christ must live with that tension about how we live out our faith in the world. I remember a church I served many, many years ago in a land far away. Actually, it was 35 years ago, and Quebec seems like a faraway land to us some days. And a decision was made in that church that volunteers would only look after funerals and funeral receptions for church members. I was welcome to do any other funerals I liked, but nobody from the congregation would be there to help me. And I really struggled with that decision. I completely understood, and I still understand, that volunteer time is precious. And I understood that with an aging congregation, decisions had to be made about how to use precious volunteer hours. But I had grown up with the example of a father who never distinguished between who was deserving of his pastoral time and attention and who was not. When our elderly Roman Catholic neighbor across the street had furnace issues, she didn't call the furnace man, she called my dad because, as she said, he could fix anything. When he was visiting church members out in the country, he would stop and visit with their next-door neighbors as well, who had never graced the door of a church. And when one of those people died, he agonized over every word he would speak at their funeral, in the same way that he did for a longtime member with whom he had worked closely. Each one of us, and I include myself, is responsible for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, with the churched and with the unchurched. And as members of St. John's, we share that love of Christ under the brand name of the United Church, and specifically the name of St. John's, not because we want or need to be the biggest and the best, not that I would fight that goal, really, but really because if we truly believe in the inclusive, welcoming love of Jesus Christ, then we want people to know that this is a place where they will experience it, regardless of how many times they have walked through the doors, regardless of what they have to offer, regardless of what their preference is in music, in dress, or in any other human means of measuring self-worth. Today, at the close of their worship service, the last church I served in Quebec will meet to determine its future. It was 22 years ago we left that congregation, and we knew even then that the English population was dwindling, young families were leaving, but I can't help but look back and wonder, even then, if there were decisions we could have made, should have made, that would have changed the course of history for that beautiful historic church. So I have a dream, I have a vision for St. John's. Everyone's allowed to dream. It says so in the Bible. And that dream I have is that within 5 years, we will no longer need the interest from our trust funds to balance our operating budget. At our annual meeting in 3 weeks, you will hear that we have taken a first step toward that reality with our great year-end statement last year and our pledges for the coming year. I like to dream about all of the wonderful things we could do, we will do, not just for ourselves, but for the community in which we live and for the world well beyond our doors, If that became a reality, when that becomes a reality. It does feel sometimes, just like it did for Jesus, that you can't win. You can't keep everybody happy, but you sure can give it your best shot with God's grace to guide you. The ministry of this church belongs to each one of us, and the challenge is ours to find that balance between meeting the needs of others and those who are part already of this congregation. Let us build a house where hands reach out beyond the wood and stone. May God be our source of inspiration, courage, and strength for the journey.